Paul wrote these words. He says, first of all, when you come together in church, in other words, he's saying when you come together as a body, I hear that there are divisions among you, and partly I believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest in you. So he was beginning to address the issue of the division that was happening in these church homes. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating every one taketh before others of your own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. So what was happening here is they were coming to the Lord's Supper with one thing, and that was to eat and get drunk. Verse 22, and what, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And I'm going to skip verse 23 and 24. We'll come after that, and 25. Now, what I'm teaching on here is the attitude to take communion. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He's talking about communion. He's talking about you examining your own heart, examining your own motives. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, what he's saying here, he died so that we could be united back with the Father. He died. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised and beaten so that his spiritual body would not be divided, or there would not be any schisms. For this cause, now watch this, for this cause many are sick, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He's not talking about the sleep you got last night. He's talking about death. For if you judge yourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged and are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So the point is, take just a few moments here and begin to examine your heart. I believe that as we prayed this afternoon, we really prepared ourselves for communion. As we were worshiping God, we prepared ourselves for communion. I always have trouble with these little things, trying to get the cover off of them. I know they're supposed to be convenient, but I think I need one that comes already open and ready to go. No, I've got to thank you. And when he had given thanks, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us. We thank you what this body, what this bread represents. It represents his body. And when he had given thanks, he break it. Would you please take the wafer? And as best you can, break it. If you don't, it's no big deal. Remember, this is just a representation. It's just a representation. And when he had broken the bread, when he had given thanks, he break it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take the bread and eat ye all of it." Then, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this wine, you do show the Lord's death until he come. The blood has been blessed. The grape juice has been blessed. Drink ye all of it. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Go ahead. Y'all can finish that song if you like.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
up. We give you praise.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
We give you praise for your blood. Thank you for the redeeming
what
blood.
What can make me whole again?
Hallelujah.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Hallelujah.
No other fount I know.
Yes.
Nothing but
nothing
the
but.
Blood of
nothing
Jesus.
But. Nothing but.
Nothing but. Oh, precious. Is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my
hallelujah.
Hope and peace.
We give you praise.
Nothing but the blood
we praise
of
you for the blood.
Jesus.
We worship you for your blood.
This is all my righteousness.
We give you praise.
Nothing but the blood
we praise you
of
for righteousness.
Jesus.
That's who we are.
Oh, precious is the flow
we give you praise.
That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing
we
but
praise
the
you
blood
for that
of Jesus.
We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
From the bottom
hallelujah.
Of our heart, we thank you,
Lord.
Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
we
you.
Love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe this place is full of praise and worship. Glory to God. So we're going to continue our study on worship. Last week, I introduced a book or mentioned a book by Norval Hayes. Did everybody that wanted that copy of that book, did you get your copy? Did I forget anybody? Well, praise the Lord. I did. I didn't get yours? Okay, send me your email. You wasn't even here last week. Where is your daughter at? Send me your email address. If you want the book, send me your email address, and I will in turn send you the book. It's easier for me to send it by email than it is by text. I said text last time, and I end up sending everybody a text back saying, please forward your email address, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, tonight I'm going to start teaching out of that book, okay? So we're going to go over chapter 1, and we'll just see how long the Lord wants me to teach out of this book. And I believe it's a phenomenal book. It was written back in 1993. That's almost, gosh, 20-some-odd years ago. And I just want to kind of let you see how rich worship was then. But it never caught on because we didn't teach on it enough. Mm-hmm. And so this is why we've labored it. I think we've been stuck here for, I'm not going to say stuck here, but we've landed here for about almost 6 months to 6-7 months preaching on worship. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to continue to stay right here.
Thank you, Lord.
But you know what? When it comes to worship, God wants every believer to walk in victory.
Amen.
He wants to give you everything that you need. Now get this, or that you will ever need.
Wow.
He wants to give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalms 37:4. When you're willing to spend time in his presence, worshiping him and praising him, you'll be amazed what can happen in your life. His blessings, Brother Norval would say, will literally fall on you. There was a time when Brother Norval did not worship and praise God, or he didn't deem it to be so important. Just like us, he thought that as long as he loved God and went to church and paid his tithes and was nice to people, things would turn out okay. But after he went into the ministry, he soon found out what it was really, he soon realized that through worship that God established a covenant. God established a covenant between him and Jesus for his people, that he provided blessing for us, that he provided healing for us, he provided prosperity for us. And then I put this note in this book. This covenant was established for us.
Amen.
Jesus has always been a worshiper.
Amen.
Jesus was always a son.
Amen.
We were the ones that needed to be a son. So with that covenant is not between us and God. That covenant is between the Father and the Son. They didn't need to have a covenant. Jesus left all of his opulence, stripped himself of everything that he had. He came to the earth and he became just like you and I. Now God still considered him the Son of God until that day he hung on that cross. And when that sin, your sin and my sin, hit him, God turned his back on him like he never knew him.
Wow.
He had to, for you, for me. That's when he was no longer a son of God. And the Bible says that he was begotten, meaning God made him a son, just like you and I.
Amen.
There is a time to sing. There is a time to pray. There's a time to preach. There's a time to teach. There's a time to give thanks. But there's also a time to give God praise.
Yes.
There's also a time to give God worship. And as you and I, as we begin to walk through this thing called worship, we're going to truly find out that God has provided for us, and he will show us how to live in a totally different realm.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the church has only scratched the surface of what our rights and privileges are. It is through these disciplines that we're teaching here. Remember, we don't just teach you to get born again and go to heaven. We're teaching you that you must be discipled. You must understand that there's things that you must apply yourself, not because you're trying to change God, but because you're the one that needs to be changed. Our distance from God is not because God doesn't want to spend time with us. God spends as much time with us as he can afford us. The problem is we have the problem on the inside of us. And there's things that have to be taken away from us. That's why praying in tongues and private worship and fasting and meditation by assimilation, these disciplines are so important to the body of Christ. And many Christians shun them because they feel, well, I don't need that. Everybody needs to be mortified.
Amen.
Your flesh needs to die.
Yes, sir.
If you see what's happening in the world today, you will see that the church needs to be mortified.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to talk in chapter 1. Guess what the title is to the first chapter? Worship Me More.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the anthem that God is saying to the whole church. If we want to see more of his glory and power, if we want to see signs and wonders, if we want to see miracles working in our midst, miracles coming out of us, we're going to have to worship him more. If you have your Bibles, go over to Psalms chapter 111 in verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart.
Glory.
With my whole heart. See, the reason for private worship is so important is in the sanctuary, you really are not worshiping God with your whole heart. You are allowing, like Vivian just said, you are allowing the beat, the drum, the guitar, the organ, and all those things to kind of provide a motive for you. If you were to take those things away, one day I just wish the power would go out in some of our churches. Just go out. Well, we couldn't have a guitar or we wouldn't have an electric piano or any of that stuff. And we'd just be sitting there. And what would we do? Well, those of you that have been worshiping God, you'll stand up and you'll begin to go, I give you praise.
Amen.
And that'll resound in the whole auditorium. Why? Because you'll know how to worship God. You don't need any kind of electric instrument to worship him and to praise him. Amen?
Amen.
But he says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Several years ago, Brother Noah was driving down the road and he says, minding his own business, when the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Lord said something to him, and this is what he said. He said, son, I used to love when he said, son, the church is sadly lacking. To which he replied, what do you mean, sadly lacking? Well, the Lord said, my children basically love me. They live in poverty and sickness and defeat. They don't live in heaven's blessings, the covenant established between me and Jesus for you, because they don't worship me enough. They don't worship me enough. Remember, this covenant was made with us in mind. Jesus bore our sins. He became poor so that we might be made rich. Mm-hmm. He bore our sins so we could be made righteous.
Amen.
He wasn't the one that needed to be made righteous. He wasn't the one that needed to be made rich.
Amen.
And when we don't live at the level that God intended for us to live at. Now, I realize some of you are looking at me like, Pastor, you done went to another level and I can't get there. You can't get there because it's your flesh that's trying to hold you back. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm challenging you tonight. If you'll spend time with God, telling him how much you love him, those things will begin to fall off of your life supernaturally.
Glory.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory. Praise the Lord.
Brother Nova responded to the Lord by saying, you said that right, Lord. In fact, he said, I know whole congregations don't spend any time worshiping you at all.
Wow.
The pastors don't even say, let's worship God for a while, just because he's God. They just teach the people to go to church, sing a few songs, listen to a song or two sung by the choir, but they really don't worship you.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's gotten any better since then?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gotten any better.
Oh,
the generation behind us don't know how to worship God. And even in this generation, many of us don't know how to worship God. I didn't know how to worship God the way I do now.
Mm-hmm.
To where I can worship God spontaneously. I can worship him for a certain length of time, but I like to worship him throughout the day.
Amen.
Then the Lord said to Brother Norval, and neither do you.
Oh, boy.
All Brother Norval could say was, is that right? The Lord continued to say, you're going around the country teaching my word. You're preaching faith and confession. You're praying for the sick. But you, sir, you need to worship me more, Norval. You need to teach my people to worship me more.
Amen.
This is why I'm on this path right now, to teach you, to stretch you, to whip you into worshiping God. I use that word, whoop. I'm going to whip you into worshiping God. Just like we're going to whip you back into praying in tongues.
Amen.
We're going to whip you into worshiping God. Why? Because when you get to heaven, you're going to go, Father, I thank you, but I got to find that fast-talking black preacher up here. Got to go find Pastor Craig. I got to let him know I am so thankful that I know who you are.
Amen.
Many Christians will walk right past Jesus and they'll be saying, hey, angel, can you tell me where Jesus is?
Yeah.
And the angel's going to say, would you just walk right by him? Because you don't know who he is. But if you begin to worship the Father and worship the Son, you'll know who he is. The Lord went on to say, I am their God, and they are my children. Now listen to what God, I bold this, I've made this in big bold print. If you will teach my children to worship me more, I'll do great and mighty things for them. Do we need that in 2018?
Amen.
Yes, we do. By this time, Brother Noble was weeping and crying. It wasn't long before he learned what the Bible has said about worship, and he began to teach in worship, and this book was part of that teaching, was part of what came out of those teachings. God wants you to live in the abundant life, ladies and gentlemen. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says this, the thief. See, that's the devil's job description. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're losing stuff, if you're not walking in prosperity, now let me say the kind of prosperity I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you're going to be so rich you can go out every year and buy you a brand new car. Now, if you want to do that, you can. I don't think that's the prosperity God had in mind. God expects you to drive an automobile that'll get you hither and thither in this traffic without breaking down. God wants you to live in a nice home. God is not concerned about you living in a 30,000 square foot mansion. Now, he doesn't mind if you live in a 30,000 square foot mansion, but here's the problem. Can you still worship God? If he walked up to you that one day and said, will you give this mansion away to that bum on the street? If you couldn't do it, then the mansion has you. You don't have the mansion. Amen. But it says the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said these words, I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. We are to have the more abundant life. Amen. Those of us that are getting ready to retire, God doesn't want us on a fixed income. No. God wants us to live abundantly. He wants us to live abundantly. Now, I'm not saying he wants you to be lazy and not without any scruples, but I'm saying God wants you to live abundantly. Amen. No, he doesn't want you running around here like I see one guy on television. He's got a fistful of money in his hand and bragging about his diamond watch and Rolexes and all that kind of stuff. That's not the abundant life. Mm-hmm. The abundant life is you've got somebody you know in church and their husband has been out of work for the past year or so, and they're about to lose their home. But because you live an abundant life, you can go over and say, I'm going to catch your house note up. I'm going to put some groceries in your home. I'm going to pay your car note for the next year. And we're going to praise God until he gets a job. That's what the abundant life is for. That's what we should be doing. Not running around talking about, look at all the diamond rings that I have, and that I've got a dog that costs $30,000, or I've got a Mercedes Benz that's worth more than whatever. That's not the abundant life. The abundant life is to see a brother or sister, and you can pull alongside of them and say, hey, listen, I got your back until you get back on your feet.
Go ahead now.
That is what it's for.
Amen.
But how many of us in here could do that today? I know I couldn't. Preach, brother. Not yet. But I'm going to get there. And that's where we should be headed. That's where we should be headed.
Amen.
That should be the desires of our heart.
Amen.
When we pray, that's what we should be expecting God to do.
Yes, sir.
One of the first things Brother Norwell learned about worship is that God wanted to bless him and God wants to bless you. God wants to give you peace and contentment. He wants to give you strength without sorrow. Mm-hmm. That sick, poverty-stricken, weak, confused, goofed-up life some of us are living is not the kind of life that God prepared for us.
Wow.
Now, I'm preaching straight from his book.
Okay.
Very little of this I'm ad-libbing. I mean, some of the stuff I am, but the majority of it, I'm just coming straight out of his book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just lost my place. But that's all right. Praise the Lord. You might be saying, but my children are backslid. My husband's sick. And the doctor said there is no hope for him. I've been asking myself, why do all these things happen to me? Why doesn't God ever do something for me? And that's the cry of a lot of people's hearts in this room. That's the cry of a lot of people's hearts in churches on Sunday morning.
Amen.
They come to church saying, maybe today the pastor will answer my question that I've been longing to be answered. The question I would ask you is this. How much have you been worshiping God this month?
Wow.
This is Brother Nova wrote this way back in 93. You may say, I haven't worshiped him any this month, but I go to a good church. My pastor's nice. You may go to a good church and have a nice pastor, But what does that have to do with you, my brother and sister? Your pastor and your church can't worship God for you. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to have a relationship with God all you on your own.
Amen.
Every person in the kingdom of God is supposed to have a relationship with God independently of their brother or their sister or their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up until 10, 15 years ago, I didn't know that. I thought just going to church was all what was required.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize God wanted a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, when I first found it out, I didn't have a clue. Even though I was reading the book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, I didn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, God understands that.
Mm-hmm.
God knows that we're all that way. But you have to be willing to have a willingness to learn and change. I had a willingness and a hunger to change.
Amen.
And the more hungrier I got, the more he fed me.
Amen.
He would send me things that I wouldn't know was coming, and they would begin to develop the inside of me. And from that, I begin to develop a relationship with him. He no longer was just God, G-A-W-D. He became my Father.
Amen.
The question is, have you worshiped Jesus any this month? Well, you'd have, because we worshiped him this afternoon if you were here. We worshiped Jesus, did we not?
Yes, we did.
Have you bowed down before him this month and called him your Savior, your healer, your miracle worker? Have you thanked him because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you told him how wonderful he is and worshiped him and him only? I'll tell you what most Christians have done. This is not Norval's book, but I'll tell you what most of them have done. They've got a problem they cannot solve, and they begin to worship the problem.
Amen.
Well, I don't believe they worship the problem. When you have that problem on your mind and you go over it day in and day out, all day long and all night long, and you're trying to figure out what to do, you're worshiping the problem.
Amen.
When you gripe and complain, you're worshiping the problem.
Amen.
You're worshiping the problem. Well said, my sister. You want to preach this? I'm just kidding. Well, you might answer, well, as a matter of fact, I don't think that I have. Then he comes back and says this: then you're missing the abundant blessing from heaven. Worship is important to God. Worship is important to God. God finds so much favor in his children when he looks down. Now, this is kind of that old revelation. God doesn't look down from heaven. God is on the inside. But so when God looks in your heart is how I would say this now. But back in the 90s, this is how we thought. We taught that. And the thing is, we shouldn't teach this anymore. God is not in heaven and we're down here alone. God is on the inside of us. The greatest mystery of all is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's on the inside of you. So when God looks into your heart and sees you worshiping and praising him, it gives him great joy. Remember, he lives on the inside of you.
Amen.
And to piggyback on your statement, if all God hears you doing is complaining and murmuring under your breath about how bad this is and how bad that is, do you think he's having a good time in your heart? I don't think so. But when he hears you going, praise be unto God, who always causes me to triumph.
Yeah.
I may be going through a test and a trial. I may have sickness and disease racking my body, but praise be unto you, God. I can just see Jesus and I going, Father, Father, you hearing all this? And the Father going, yes, son, I'm enjoying it just like you. Bless God.
Amen.
Picture that sometime. Picture that in your mind. I don't care how sick you are. Listen, several months ago, my knees were just cracking and hurting. And I just I'd walk around and going, I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Amen.
Got a little pain. I said, man, every now and then I get a little something. But I'm doing pretty good.
Amen.
I can keep up with you young folks.
Amen.
Was I doing my thing out there Saturday afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was keeping up with them.
Go ahead now.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get old like y'all. I may look old, but I'm not gonna get old like y'all. I'm kidding. God gets much pleasure when he hears you worshiping him. And this is what he begins to do on your behalf. He begins to work out your problems for you. Unbeknownst to you, you're worshiping God and he's working on your problem.
Amen.
You got a wayward child? Begin to worship God and let him go after that child. Am I right about that? Huh? Will he work on them? Yes, he will.
Praise the Lord.
Don't worry about your children anymore. Just begin to worship God. And say, Father, you promised me that me and my entire household would be saved. So I give you praise tonight. I worship you. You're on the job. You're doing something. I may not see it, but you're doing something. He'll give them everything they need and want that's in the Bible. He'll bring to pass the desires of their heart, Psalms 37 and 4. It doesn't matter what kind of problems you have. It doesn't matter what kind of problems you have. It doesn't matter what kind of problems that you have. God knows exactly what to do. You don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, but Jesus does. He knows all about your case. He made you, he loves you, and his desire is to bless you. All he wants to do, all he wants you to do, all he wants you to do is worship him for who he is and praise him for what he has already done for you. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He bore all your sins, sickness, and diseases on the cross. He has declared that there's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against
Amen.
You.
Amen.
He did all that for you. Amen. And when you start confessing those things back to the Father, he gets excited with you.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes overjoyed with you.
Amen.
And he begins to do things on your behalf without you even knowing anything about it. Worship and praise are like twins. They kind of just mingle together.
Mm-hmm.
When God showed Brother Norval his lack of worship, Brother Norval made a decision to change. The change didn't happen overnight, but over the period of time, he began to get along with God and bow down just to worship him. He had been traveling all over the country speaking to thousands of people. Until that day came, he really didn't spend much time worshiping God alone. He wasn't spending any quality time by himself along with the Father. If you have to have a bunch of people, now this is Brother Noble talking. If you have to have a bunch of people around you before you can worship God, your relationship with God is half sick.
Amen.
Now that's a direct quote from the book.
Wow.
If you can only worship God, I'm going to tell you something. When I first started worshiping God alone, boy, it was awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was awkward.
Yes, sir.
And what was awkward, why I was feeling awkward, it was my flesh not wanting me to enter into his presence
there
like
you
that.
Go, right. There you go.
My flesh didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I broke through.
Amen.
And man, I can worship God with some of the best of them. I'm not saying I'm the best worshiper, but I can worship God with some of the best of them. You shouldn't have to have anybody with you to worship God. Your public worship to God never will please him to the fullest until he sees you worshiping him alone. If you want God to bless you out of your socks, that's one of Brother Norval's saying. God wants to bless you out your socks. He used to always say that, man. God wants to bless you out your socks.
Amen.
Start worshiping him when no one is around. Sure, God is pleased when you worship in the congregation. But those courses you sing before service, in a service, are to train you how to spend time with God privately. They are not going to get the job done. In other words, they're not going to change you. God is pleased with it, but you're going to have to come to a place where that you decide you're going to have a relationship with God, just you and him. Just you and him. You can't live on your mother's relationship. You can't live on your daddy's relationship with God. You can't live on your pastor's relationship with God.
Amen.
You have to develop a relationship with God yourself.
Amen.
And you'll never have a relationship that is worth much to him unless you first learn to put first things first. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first.
Amen.
Now, it didn't say seek ye first heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say seek ye first the blessings. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And his righteousness.
Yes.
And all these things will be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
When you put first things first, it won't be long until God will begin to visit you in a new way.
Mm.
God will begin to visit you in a new way. Your mouth will taste like sugar in it. Like your mouth has sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere around you will begin to change. If you would just... If you could just be talked into believing the scriptures in Matthew chapter 6, and it says this. I don't know if I gave you that. Matthew 6, 6. I don't know if I gave you that one or not. If God sees you pray in secret,
mm-hmm.
he will reward you openly.
Amen.
You would see the reality of this scripture for yourself.
Amen.
If Christians would actually begin worshiping him by themselves, their testimony would be this in a year. Brother Norville, Pastor Craig, I worshiped God for a year and a few little things have happened. But now my life has begun to change totally. Life isn't a struggle for me anymore.
Amen.
God is showering me with his blessings. I can hardly stand it.
Hallelujah.
I wonder where you would be a year from now if you would begin to spend time worshiping God. One of the things, now this isn't Brother Norville, this is Pastor Craig speaking.
Okay.
This is what the Lord began to reveal to me when I was reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things or subjects in Matthew 6 is the principle of what you do in secret.
Mm-hmm.
God will reward you openly. Jesus specifically dealt with three areas in this passage of scripture.
Yes, he
dealt with fasting,
mm-hmm.
praying,
mm-hmm.
and giving.
Yep.
However, the principle is, what you do in secret, he will reward you openly. Not only does this principle apply to these three areas, but it also applies in the area of forgiveness,
Amen.
Repentance,
Amen.
Obedience.
Hallelujah.
And he gave me some more, but they were kind of personal, so I'm going to leave them to myself. Okay? I'm just letting you know that God...
Okay.
is ready to bless the church. God wants you to get alone, and God wants to begin to reward you openly as long as you put first things first. Now here is Brother Norville's testimony. Since that first day that Brother Norville started worshiping the Father alone, his testimony is he has had no financial problems. One particular testimony, he bought some property for his Bible school in the year that his ministry didn't have the money to pay for it without taking up an offering.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Norville never took up an offering.
Wow.
God didn't bless Brother Norville because he lived the 100% perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
And neither will you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll simply do what he tells you to do, it's to the best of your ability, the blessings of God, the same blessings that fell on Brother Norville will also fall on you.
Amen.
This is how the kingdom operates.
Amen.
Another testimony is one year when he was in Columbus, Ohio to speak at a camp meeting. When he arrived at the hotel, he told the pastor, hey, we're not going to meet this afternoon. I'm not going to have dinner with you. I'm going to go to my hotel room, but I'll see you at the night service.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed in his hotel room all afternoon, and guess what he did?
Worship
God. That evening when he spoke at the camp meeting, he opened up his mouth, and God began revealing and unfolding the entire Bible to him. He claims he could have taught the Bible for 10 hours and never once looked at it. It was just coming to him in revelation knowledge like you wouldn't believe. It was just pouring out of him. The anointing, he could hardly stand under that anointing. He felt as though God was literally going to take him to heaven. He got so anointed at that at first, he could hardly talk. He could hardly stand. Another minister on the platform who was sitting next to the pastor said, Norval is so anointed, I don't see how he's standing up.
Wow.
He may just fall to the floor any minute now. During that meeting, the Holy Spirit moved in such a powerful way. It's amazing what he will do when you obey him and begin to worship
Amen.
Him.
Wow.
Make worship and praise a way of living, he says.
Amen.
Initially, you may, now this is good. I kind of differed with him a little bit, and the Lord rebuked me, and I went, okay, and now I get it. Okay? Now I get it. Initially, you may want to choose a particular time and place to worship, at least until you become established in it.
Okay.
Now, that's me talking.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Norval doesn't do that. He likes to make his worship time spontaneous, and I totally agree now. However, in the event you do set a time to worship, say 6 or 9 o'clock in the morning, for instance, for worship, don't say to yourself later that day, well, I worship God for an hour this morning, so I'm done with worship.
Wow.
No.
Uh-huh.
No. When you get the urge to worship God, mm-hmm. begin to worship him. That's him saying, I want to spend time with. And he says that I'm getting ahead of myself, but he says it doesn't have to be long periods of time. He just wants to hear you spend time with him. Brother Smith Wigglesworth mm-hmm. would say this: I don't go a half hour without praying, and I don't pray for anything over a half hour. In other words, he's in constant communication with God.
Amen.
One of the downfalls about setting a time is in the event you can't stick to it. For example, if your schedule, for whatever reason, doesn't permit you to worship at that time of the day, it's a good idea to establish a time and place to worship if you want to. But Brother Norval doesn't knock that, but he doesn't advocate that. What he says is this. He says, make worship and praise a way of living.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say this, though.
Okay.
It's like praying in tongues. You need to first get established in it.
Amen.
It must become second nature to you is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you walk into a room, you don't really feel for the light switch. You just know it's there.
Uh-huh.
And you just kind of move your hand where the switch should be.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the walls get kind of oily and whatever. Because you know that the switch is there and you just reach for it. It's become a way of life to you. It's like when you get in your car, when you put that key in ignition, you expect it to do what?
Turn on
and run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it don't, that's when all the problems start. But it becomes second nature to you. Let worship become second nature to you. So if you have to establish worship in your life, if you have to set a time, there's not a problem with that. That's recommended.
Amen.
Because here's what will happen. If you don't get established in it, you'll go, well, I'm going to worship God sometime today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I promise you, your flesh is going to see to it that that sometime never comes around.
Amen.
He's good at that.
Yes, he is.
So the thing is, you must establish yourself in these things.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know these things? Because I've been down this trail before.
Amen.
Okay? So I'm just telling you. It's a good idea to establish yourself if you want to say in the morning. That's when I first get up in the morning. Usually the Lord wakes me up around about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. Miss Craig's over there just snoring like a log, man. She's knocking out some Z's hard. And man, I'll wake up and I'll go, I just give you praise. And I can worship God. Now, I don't get loud, but I can worship God and she'll never know I'm worshiping God. And I worship God for about 30, 45 minutes, and then I'll get up and get ready and start my day. And then sometimes I like to go find me a little place. We have a place at the church called the director suite. We have a communion room. Man, I'll go up there, and I may spend my lunch hour just worshiping God. I can imagine the people that work around those areas thinking, what in the world is going on in that room? Because I'm speaking to God like he's real. I love you. I worship you. I need you. I magnify you. I give you praise. I love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul. I bet they're going, Y'all got a nut somewhere in this building. But I don't care.
Amen.
I don't really care.
Amen.
Because this nut, eventually,
yes,
probably is going to be the person that heals you in the hospital.
Go ahead now.
This nut, amen, is probably going to be the person that begins to show you how to get close to God. Because I'm going to spend that time now. I'm unashamed in my worship.
Amen.
Now, I used to be like, I don't want anybody to hear me. Mm-hmm. I may be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this doesn't bother me anymore.
Amen.
Now, I've also learned this about worship.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't how loud you are.
Amen.
It's just that you worship Him.
Amen.
You don't have to be loud. You can be just as quiet. I give you praise. I worship you.
Amen.
I magnify you.
Amen.
As long as it's coming from your heart, that's all He's concerned of.
That's right.
Brother Norville has developed the habit of worshiping God regularly, but he doesn't have set hours or set times to worship Him. His goal is to worship Him at least 2, 3, or even 4 times a day. Personally, when he first gets up every morning, he likes to worship God for a while. And he doesn't put a time on it. He may worship God for a half hour, may worship God for an hour. He may worship Him for 15 minutes. God is not concerned. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, in heaven, God doesn't wear a watch.
Amen.
If He could, He'd wear a Rolex or some expensive, but God doesn't have a watch. In heaven, there is no time. All God is looking for is your heart to go, I want to worship you.
Amen.
If God can see the intent in your heart, frankly,
mm-hmm,
He counts this as time spent with Him.
Amen.
Now, I know your natural mind going, what does that mean? You got to get in the spirit.
Amen.
When God sees that you have a desire to worship Him, He begins to realize, okay, you're in a mode of worshiping
Amen.
Me. And He can tell, okay, you're going to be a strong worshiper. He understands that. People would often ask Brother Norville, how long do you worship God? In other words, when you decide to worship Him at any interval, how long do you worship God, Brother Norville? And Brother Norville would respond, I don't set a time. I don't have a set time. I don't measure the time. I don't know how long I worship God. He says God doesn't wear a watch. He has nothing to do. God has nothing but time.
Amen.
And if you want to worship God every morning, take 5, 10, 15 minutes. Take 3 hours if you want to.
Amen.
Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
God does not spend time with you because you spend an hour praying in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that, you need to scratch that thought. Because what that's going to lead to is works.
Amen.
God is not concerned with that. God does not spend time with you because you spent certain number of hours in the cubicle worshiping Him.
Amen.
But here's what He does spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why He spends time with you. The change.
Mm-hmm.
The change.
Mm-hmm.
When He sees change in you, that's when He starts spending His time with you.
Glory.
In that change.
Amen. Amen.
God spends time with you based upon change.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, you need to put in the time so you can be changed.
Amen.
That's the flip side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
But God is not God doesn't care if you don't ever pray in tongues or worship Him at all. If you're born again, and you can maintain that without backsliding, He's okay. But when you get to heaven and everybody's getting a reward, and you're going to go, ooh, I can't wait to get mine. And everybody's going to get the reward, and you're going to go, God, did you forget me? He goes, no, son, you're in heaven. Well, Father, where's my reward? You didn't do anything. Thank God you got to heaven. One day I'm going to teach on the great white throne of judgment.
Amen.
For many of you, it's going to I hate to use this word, it's going to scare the willies out of you.
Oh, wow.
But the great white throne of judgment is a good thing.
Amen.
It's where you get rewarded for what you did in secret.
Amen.
And the moment you walk in there, what you did starts coming out of you.
Amen.
And what you didn't do starts coming out of you. Your life comes out of you and you see exactly what you did and you didn't do.
Wow.
And you know what? You're not going to argue with God one iota. You're going to dust off yourself and go, thank God I'm in heaven. I'll deal with eternity, but thank God I made it to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. This is a good book.